Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector in Chicago, who is The Expert Vet. She's a board-certified veterinary internist here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you'd like to hear more episodes of this show or any of the Pet Talk radio shows I co-host with experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com and visit the podcast libraries. The Expert Vet is a production of Pet Media, Inc. and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content. I also produce the Dog Film Festival, which celebrates the love between dogs and their people and the rescue groups that bring them together. Sponsored by a grant from the Petco Foundation, the festival is traveling across the country. You can find more information on the website, dogfilmfestival.com. This show is brought to you with the generous support of Halo, Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. And their new grain-free recipes like Vigor give you even more healthy choices for your pet's dinner, while Daily Greens brings vitamins and digestive enzymes into your dog's diet. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com for pets awaiting their forever homes. Dr. Donna, this might give you a chuckle, but I know you have prepared for this topic, which seems very low-tech. Broccoli! Broccoli! The Broccoli Show! I bet you we get more people listening to The Broccoli Show than ever listen to any of your fabulous shows that would be enough to get a, you know, a doctor's degree. So here's my story about broccoli. Both my girls, my big Weimaraners, 80 pounds each, wildly active. As you've said about me, you're a feeder. And I don't like to see bony dogs, but we're meant to be seeing their spine a little bit and their ribs. And so for a while, I've neglected to give them treats that have calories, and I've given them big handfuls multiple times in a row, like in one sitting, one feeding, of frozen broccoli. What in the frozen food section, they're called broccoli cuts because they're cheaper. Some are florets and some are the stem. And a friend was over and saw the girls just gobbling these. By the way, of course, Maisie will only eat the florets. Okay, then.
Right.
So we have to give all the stems to Wanda. That's fine. Sometimes it makes one of them a little gassy, but it doesn't really. And the friend had read on the internet, oh, my God, broccoli can be toxic. So I rushed to you to find out, am I poisoning my dogs? I've only heard about chocolate and raisins, so let's talk.
Right. Wow. Yes, toxic broccoli. It's, you know, it's lovely aroma of broccoli, you know, is due to the presence of, there are these sulfur-containing chemicals called thiocyanates. So, you know, the smell that causes kids to, like, duck under the table and be like, oh, no, broccoli! So that is these sulfur-containing chemicals, thiocyanates. And they're natural plant defense compounds. I mean, all plants have to protect themselves in some way. The flower, the florets, if you will, tastes delicious and wonderful and sugary and yummy because that's how it disperses itself in it. Those are the seeds of the plant.
Oh, how interesting.
But the stems, leaves, stalks, you know, roots, that sort of thing, has very high high levels of, there are two different compounds, and I'm not going to get into that, but they store them in separate areas in the plant.
No, like, kidding.
These chemicals are so toxic when they get together that the plant of broccoli doesn't even store them in the same area of the plant.
Cut it out. That is so cool. Nature is amazing.
It's amazing. So this little ant, let's say an ant climbs up the broccoli stalk, chomps into the broccoli stem, it activates these compounds to mix together and create a sulfofurane. You know, it's this, and it gets that sulfury smell. That's what, you know, that's what
we
smell.
So what then happens is the ant fart or what?
No, that's what, when the broccoli is compromised, cut, whatever,
I see.
That's when naturally those compounds mix together and they create that smell. And that will kill the ant. That will get enough of a deterrent that the ant's like, whoa, no, I'm not chewing on that broccoli.
And the rest of the ants will not rush over into the breach and start chomping on that same broccoli.
So that is a normal broccoli defense mechanism. So that is alive and well. So the broccoli, you know, produces that, and it's sulforaphane or something like
okay.
that.
Okay, yep.
But whatever.
Yep.
So that chemical is indeed toxic to human cells. It's a, as opposed to an antioxidant, which we like, it's a prooxidant.
My goodness.
It actually depletes antioxidants. And interestingly enough for you, it interferes with like thyroid function and various things.
Wow.
So those are like in vitro studies, right? They're like, these are studies that have been done on top of a lab, and they have human cells in a petri dish. And they're
My goodness.
This chemical, when you put it on here, you know, wow, look at all the things it does. But that very same ingredient, the sulforaphane, is what's also responsible for the many health benefits of broccoli. It induces cancer cell death. It can kill bacteria. It can do all these great things. So this is the classic double-edged sword that are
interesting
in so many natural foods. There's an actual name to this theory. It's called hormesis. And it's the theory that states small amounts of toxic compounds can actually be good for you. It's all about the dose.
I'll be darned.
I mean, and the one I use is like, okay, alcohol. Red wine, a little bit is good. Resveratrol, those things can be antioxidant, blah, blah, blah. Well, we all know too much alcohol is not good.
Well, not only that, but my stepmother at one point, my father, who's going to have his 100th birthday in June, luckily he didn't stick with this, she had gotten capsules of Resveratrol,
right,
which are obviously really potent, and
right,
he got sick from them.
Right.
So, yeah, like alcoholism or capsules of that, right, of that amount, or like – too much. How do we spell that word?
Hormesis. It's H-O-R-M-E-S-I-S.
Fascinating.
And, you know, and it's just that the whole concept of like certain homeopathic medicine.
Yes.
Like little bits of natural plants can be healthful and beneficial, and large doses of the same plants can be very toxic.
That's really absolutely mind-altering that this broccoli has this
right. –
it's so complex. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about whether I should have gotten the more expensive just the frozen florets. Maybe that would help. I had
right.
no idea. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made with only whole meats, never any rendered meat meals like chicken meal or byproduct meal. Dogs love meat, and cats are obligate carnivores, so optimum nutrition starts with meat that their bodies can best utilize. With responsibly sourced ingredients slow-cooked in small batches, independent tests have shown Halo foods are highly digestible, so your pet's bodies can absorb the nutrients. When you feed your pet Halo food, at the same time you'll be nourishing less fortunate shelter pets, because for every purchase you make, Halo gives a bowl of food to shelters. Support for this show also comes from VaxiCheck, a simple test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog or puppy is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. If you are among the people concerned about over-vaccinating your pet, whether young or old, VaxiCheck can help you and your veterinarian make the best decision about vaccinating in your individual situation. Shelters can use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones and avoid unnecessarily over-vaccinating dogs. VaxiCheck for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. Dr. Donna, this is so amazing. Let's just back up, you know, selfishly. You happen to know that I had my thyroid gland removed and that I'm on thyroid replacement. Is it not a good idea for humans to eat broccoli stem? I actually have cut it off and eaten it raw. I peel off the outside and I eat it raw, dipped or not in ranch dressing or just with salt.
There are certain guidelines in the human medical world that people that have liver disease, because that, you know, that liver disease, often you don't have much in the line of antioxidants. If you have a lot of gastrointestinal disease or if you're hypothyroid, many times broccoli and chemical plants in that brassica family, if you will, are often not recommended because they can interfere with like thyroid function. And what I find to be fascinating is when you take in broccoli raw, et cetera, if you take in broccoli, once it's inside body cells, okay, so it gets absorbed. That chemical is the sulforaphane. I mean, it gets absorbed very, very rapidly. Once it's inside the body cells, humans, dogs, whoever, our own antioxidants, which is like the glutathione, our own antioxidants rapidly bind to it and escort it outside of our cells within 3 hours. So It's like,
oh my Lord,
your body,
it crosses the cell membrane,
yep.
gets in there, and our own body goes, uh-uh, we're not having any of that broccoli,
right.
And
so it
escorts
just gets rid
it,
of it
out.
And it gets rid of
wow.
it. Wow. And so, again, if you're a healthy individual and you don't have liver disease and you don't have thyroid disease and you don't have GI disease and you have a normal and you maybe even take an antioxidant, you never know, you're going to be well equipped to deal with a normal amount of broccoli in your diet, even if you eat it daily. But, you know, it's, again, we don't want to go to the extreme here, but it's like, you know, obviously if I had a dog with hypothyroidism, I'm probably going to say don't eat 3 cups of broccoli
right,
a day.
Right.
But other interesting things, broccoli sprouts have 20 to 100 times more of the potentially toxic compound.
But broccoli sprouts I've never come upon.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. And I actually used to eat them a lot.
Oh, my goodness. You mean sort of like an
alfalfa
sprout? Alfalfa
sprout, but they're broccoli sprouts.
Oh, my God. Oh, how funny.
So then, for you, freezing broccoli reduces the toxic compounds by 50%.
Thank God. For the dogs.
Steaming broccoli.
Yeah.
Reduces it by 66%.
What about boiling it?
It's about the same.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So steaming is actually even more. So the best is like buy previously steamed broccoli, toss it in the freezer. I mean, you just really don't have to worry about it. And because whatever little amount of the chemical gets into the body, a healthy dog, healthy person, your own body's antioxidants bind it and they get rid of it.
Wow.
So
that is
let me just give you
really
a,
cool.
concept
okay, a concept
of, you know, you're feeding probably 2 cups of broccoli a day.
At a time,
you know,
when I'm giving them for a snack, I take big handfuls right out of the bag in the freezer and put it on their tray.
Right. So, like, your average, like, 65-pound lab, et cetera, you know, usually it's going to take in about 1,300 calories a day. Even if you're feeding 2-3 cups of broccoli, you're looking at 60 calories around there. So it's less than 5% of the whole calorie intake. I mean, would I advise 10 cups of broccoli a day? No. But you know, is 2 cups fine? Yeah. I mean, again, it's frozen, so it's already got a lot less of the chemical in it for sure, as well as the body is very efficient at getting rid of it. I mean, it's just like there's some things in avocado, there's some things in, you know, all these, a lot of vegetables have some component of something that could be toxic.
Totally amazing. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, let's talk about why dogs would refuse to eat the raw or steamed broccoli, but love it frozen. Maybe it does make it sweeter. Maybe it's just the cold crunch. We'll be right back. This show is made possible in part by Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, who has his own Cats Only Clinic in Colorado. He has devoted his life to inventing innovative litters for the health of all members of the family, and now has broken new ground by creating a healthy, dry, and canned food for kitties called Clean Protein. Clean Protein was inspired by the protein levels found in a cat's natural prey, and 90% of the protein in the Clean Protein kibble and cans is animal-based, not the plant-based ingredients in traditional dry cat food like grains, potato, vegetables, and fruits that are high in oxalate and lead to rapid metabolization, which actually increases your cat's hunger. The primary ingredients in Dr. Elsie's Clean Protein are the highest biological value proteins available, and the result is that your cat's appetite is satisfied longer without compromising her health. If you want to feed dry food to your cat, even as part of her diet, make the healthier choice. The proof is in the protein, Clean Protein. This show is also brought to you by Best Pet RX, a unique compounding pharmacy for pets in New York City. They can turn any medication for dogs and cats into a custom-flavored oral paste, chewable tablet, or a liquid that your pet will actually like. And Best Pet RX will keep trying formulations at no extra charge and offers same-day delivery in New York City and overnight delivery anywhere else so that your pet can happily take the medicine she needs to get well and stay well. We're back, Dr. Donna, but before we talk more about the frozen broccoli chunks that I've been giving, should I get the more expensive broccoli florets? I mean, obviously, it seems like a good investment to avoid those stem pieces.
Yeah. So, I mean, the stems and the sprouts, so essentially roots, stems, leaves, I mean, those are where more of the compound is going to be. So I personally would do florets.
Yeah, I'm going to the florets. Now, why – obviously, we can't explain Weimaraners to anybody. They're in a world of their own. But why would they? I even had some leftover raw broccoli, so I put it in the freezer. And I guess flash freezing out in the fields when they do it commercially is very different,
because these were frozen hard, and I gave it to them, and they refused it. But the frozen ones made commercially, which are much more crystally and much more hard frozen, they immediately ate those. Now, is could
and
there
it's
be
raw underneath?
Yeah, they're all raw underneath.
Who knows?
I know, but that's really strange that they're my
it is really
home
strange.
Freezing is refused. So what do you do for your beautiful Gabby? Because you're very conscious of weight with her. What does she get for a snack? Or are you the Cruella de Vil and she gets no snacks?
No, she gets snacks. Actually, her favorite is green beans. Well, that's not true.
I remember that.
Her favorite is red peppers, but I'm going to tell you something crazy. She's allergic to red pepper.
Cut it out. How did you find that out?
Because I did an elimination diet trial.
No way.
I mean, whenever I was cutting up peppers, I would just toss the red peppers to her, and she would eat them up. She kept having hives, and she would swell. Her whole face would swell. I mean, to the point where I had to give her Benadryl injectably and steroids injectably to get the allergic reaction. It didn't even occur to me, because who in the good green earth is allergic to a red pepper? And I don't know. I must have not bought red peppers. And I'm like, wow, she hasn't had one of those reactions in a while. And lo and behold, my next red pepper, I gave it to her. And then I did it several times where I would keep her off for a month, and then I would give her a red pepper, and that's the only thing I'd give her. Immediate reaction.
No kidding.
I did that reintroduction 3 or 4 times because I was like, this cannot be possible.
Right, right. So,
anyway, she dies for red peppers when I'm cutting them at the counter. She whines for them.
Oh, the baby.
She likes green beans just fine. So she actually gets tons of green beans.
And you give her raw. My girls won't eat raw.
Yeah, raw. But, I mean, even if she wanted them sautéed a bit or boiled or whatever, I mean, that would be fine. But I do, because she likes the crunch. So.
Well, what about the frozen, the cut frozen green beans?
Yeah, right, of course. I mean,
you could
perfect.
Do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is really interesting. Have you ever researched red pepper the way you kindly did broccoli for me and found
I
out
haven't.
What?
But
it must have some other, you know, chemical poisony thing in it.
Absolutely. And just think about any veggie that has that bite. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Like little tang, the
yes.
little bite peppers certainly fit in there. I mean, there are going to be chemicals, probably cathepsins and other things that can be toxic
wow.
at high levels. I mean, for sure.
Amazing. So when people – my sister has these two little dogs that I think of as such picky eaters. They're Brussels Griffins, and Sprout and Lulu both will eat any vegetable dropped on the floor while cooking. I mean, when they come to my house and I'm cooking, it drives me nuts because I do not welcome dogs to be salivating at my feet. But they will eat a piece of Belgian endive, a piece of anything, lettuce, just stupid old lettuce, anything. I mean, you know, they go nuts for it. Is this? I guess it's a good thing to encourage because obviously they don't take in massive quantities.
Right, right.
But you as someone who watches diet so carefully, it is a generally good treat in terms of low calorie and satisfying,
and
right?
It's got phytonutrients in it, so there are
and fiber.
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, it's going to be florets in my house. What will I do with the stems? I'll have to take them to, you know, the food bank or something.
Right.
They're very large bags when I buy them. They're very large
dogs.
You know,
I would just go ahead and finish it out.
Okay, good. That makes me feel better. The Scotch Presbyterian thrifty thing, I'm like, oh, no, maybe I'll have to make broccoli soup of the stems. But I guess I, too, should not be eating broccoli. I really,
well,
why would I?
With
if
your
I have a
thyroid
choice?
Issue, it's at least worth a conversation point with your endocrinologist.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? There's no way that the gastroenterologist or the endocrinologist they're clueless about these things. God bless them. But they really are, the human ones.
Right.
I mean, the veterinary ones, you know, sort of equally. They don't pay attention to these things. They really think of medication and a blood test. And I bet you if I brought up broccoli to my very nice, bright endocrinologist, she'd say, what are you talking about? And I go, never mind.
Right.
Just something I learned from my dogs and Dr. Donna. Well, everybody out there, be on high alert. Even vegetables can come after you if you aren't careful. Thanks, Dr. Donna.
Take care.